It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it is your public radio station broadcasting from beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is snowing a little bit. We have 27 degrees out at the airport right now with wind speeds from the west at 13 miles per hour, 72% humidity, and 9 miles of visibility. They're calling for a 30% chance of snow today, 40% chance of snow tonight. Mostly cloudy skies for today and tonight. High near 33 today. And we're looking at a low of 33 overnight tonight. North winds to 10, becoming easterly tomorrow to 15. Higher winds will be coming up tomorrow. Coming up on the Midday Report, Kodiak High School students came together to open a pantry to alleviate food insecurity. Oath Keeper founder Stuart Rhodes testified for the defense of Representative David Eastman. And Alaskans who depend on the state's public assistance program have been waiting months for benefits without explanation.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Residents in Northern California are assessing damage and bracing for more aftershocks after many of them were jolted awake early this morning by a magnitude 6.4 earthquake. The Tumbler near Ferndale centered just off the coast in the Pacific Ocean. It caused widespread power outages and damage in Humboldt County. At least two people were injured. Congressional negotiators reached a deal on a $1.7 trillion spending bill to fund the government for the coming year. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports now members are racing to approve the bipartisan plan before a government shutdown deadline this Friday.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said members must move quickly to approve the bill's $858 billion in defense spending and $773 billion in discretionary programs.
This package represents an aggressive investment in American families, American workers, and America's national defense. It'll give our troops a raise, make health care more affordable for millions, and it fulfills the promise Democrats made to defend democracy at home and abroad.
The measure also directs more than $44 billion in aid to Ukraine and includes reforms to the Electoral Count Act to safeguard presidential elections. Claudia Grisales, NPR News, Washington.
Women are now banned from private and public universities in Afghanistan. The latest decree from the Taliban is being met with criticism abroad. Here's NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
A United Nations spokesman calls it another broken promise by the Taliban. State Department spokesman Ned Price agrees, calling the ban on women going to university, quote, indefensible.
The Taliban have permanently sentenced Afghan women to a darker and more barren future without opportunity. No country can thrive when half of its population is arbitrarily held back.
Price says the move will further alienate the Taliban from the international community, and he threatened unspecified consequences. Separately, Price confirmed that the Taliban released two Americans. He didn't provide details, but says there was no prisoner swap or money exchanging hands. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
A white former police officer in Texas who shot and killed a young black woman inside her own home in 2019 has been sentenced to nearly 12 years in prison on a manslaughter conviction. That's roughly half the time prosecutors had requested for Aaron Dean. Investigators say the victim, a Tatiana Jefferson, was up late playing video games with her 8-year-old nephew when Dean and another officer arrived in response to a neighbor's non-emergency call to report that Jefferson's front door was open. Jefferson was in her bedroom when Dean fired a shot through her window. The ex-officer testified that he thought the home was being burglarized and fired when he saw Jefferson aim a gun at him. You're listening to NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Kodiak High School students came together to open a pantry to alleviate food insecurity for their peers. KMXT's Brian Venois talked to two of the students and their instructor about what inspired the project.
Kodiak High School students started fundraising for the pantry as part of a civic engagement course they took to learn about systemic inequality. Part of the class was to create a service project. One of the students, John Eaton, a freshman, says everyone pitched an idea for the project and they ultimately decided to tackle food insecurity.
Eventually, we got to something with like a food drive or a food pantry. And so we started doing some data collection and we noticed that a lot of the high school is like going home hungry and like asking counselors or like teachers for food.
The students used fundraiser money to shop for the pantry themselves. Serenity Bushell is a junior at Kodiak High School. She says the class wanted to address an issue that directly affects their peers and acknowledge inequities in the school.
We wanted a safe space for students to get things that they need, whether that be hygiene products or food itself.
The school has a program for free and reduced lunches, but families must be at or below certain income thresholds per household size to qualify. Serenity says the students wanted to create a food source that was shameless and easily accessible.
We noticed there are a lot of barriers with that, and that could be through language, about parents not knowing about it, because the school does send it through like emails, but a lot of people don't have access to like emails and things along that.
According to the students' research, about 40% of Kodiak High School students receive free or reduced lunch. However, John, the freshman, says the research for the project included a teacher survey that showed the need was much higher.
Asking some teachers at the school of what they thought would be the actual percentage, and most of them said around 50% or 60% could use these free and reduced lunches.
Jaiselyn Keyes works for the local college and hosted the class. Keyes says since the students are shopping instead of soliciting goods like in a food drive, they'll be able to purchase higher quality products for their peers.
One of the things that they have learned and explored as a part of this is that oftentimes when you do things like this, you get off-product or off-brand products, and they're really looking to decrease stigma by providing quality name-brand products.
As part of the class, students learned to trace issues to systemic inequalities and consider civic engagement by learning about historic inequality. Keyes says the intent of the project in particular was to show the students that change is possible, at least in their local community.
We're not going to necessarily change poverty or food insecurity in this class, but we can impact it in our local community.
Serenity says she was most interested in environmental racism and how it affects rural areas in particular.
I never knew how deeply it ran through and how prominent it still is. And just hearing about how many people are affected, even now, like things that are happening, how companies take advantage of these people in this area because they know they can't push back.
John says while they may not change current systemic problems today, he feels more aware of the issues surrounding him.
We're trying to change the course of how it's going to affect people. And I think that this class has been something, an eye-opener, to say the least.
The class had their final presentation early last week. Their goal was at $3,000, however, the students raised around $4,400 for the pantry. While the class is over, sustainability was a major priority for the students, and Keyes says they plan to pass the project to Key Club, a service-based club at the high school, to keep it going. Food from the fundraiser will be available in classrooms on each floor of the high school at the host teacher's discretion. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
As a disclaimer, Serenity Bushell is the daughter of Ian Bushell, a member of KMXT's board of directors, which does not direct news coverage. Oath Keeper founder Stuart Rhodes testified from jail yesterday for the defense at a civil trial challenging the qualifications of Representative David Eastman to serve in the Alaska legislature. Eastman, a Wasilla Republican, is a member of the Oath Keepers, which the plaintiff's expert witnesses describe as an anti-government militia. Rhodes, though, presented a very different view. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin has this report.
Eastman's attorney, Joe Miller, portrayed Oath Keepers as do-gooders whose bylaws don't allow insurrection.
And those bylaws, again, I read part of them earlier on, out of Exhibit U, make it very clear that you cannot, as an Oath Keeper, do anything to overthrow the government. I mean, it's specifically stated.
Domestic terrorism experts call Oath Keepers an anti-government militia. Leaders of the group were convicted last month of seditious conspiracy for actions leading up to the January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol. That's problematic for Eastman. He didn't enter the Capitol that day, but he's the subject of a civil lawsuit alleging his membership in the group disqualifies him from public office due to a disloyalty provision in the state constitution. Eastman testified that he hasn't condemned the group and that he remains a member. The plaintiff's attorney, Gorian Dedukian, tried to get Eastman to acknowledge that he knew Oath Keepers used force in the Capitol to stop the certification of the presidential election. Dedukian reviewed the way the Oath Keepers wore combat gear and moved in a tight line as they forced their way into the building.
And in the military, that would be called a stack formation?
That's probably not what I would describe as a stack formation. That was just people walking through a crowd, you know, holding on to each other.
And your understanding of what they were doing in the Capitol on that day was that they were proceeding in that fashion to help the police? That's your understanding?
Yes.
And you are aware, though, sir, that at least three of those individuals have now pled guilty to seditious conspiracy charges, right?
I've heard that.
And you're aware that in the plea agreements, they or in their statements of offense, they admitted to not only marching in those formations, but to using force while inside the Capitol building, right?
Those aren't documents that I've reviewed, no.
The disloyalty provision has never been tested at a trial before. It says no one can serve in public office who belongs to an organization that advocates overthrowing the government by force. The trial, conducted largely by Zoom, is likely to continue into next week. Miller says he intends to call the Oath Keepers' leader, Stuart Rhodes, who would testify from jail. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Alaskans who depend on the state's public assistance program for food say they've been waiting for their benefits for months. And as Claire Strimple reports for KTOO, the state isn't offering an explanation.
Nikita Chase is a single mom with two kids at home. She says she hasn't gotten her food stamps since October.
You're supposed to get it on the 1st, but you're not getting anything. And there's no communication.
She's one of an unknown number of Alaskans waiting on food assistance from the state. They're trying to figure out why a system meant to support them isn't working.
So everybody's just sitting waiting up in the air. And when you call, you get no answers.
Food stamps are also known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. The state made it easier to get them during the pandemic. More than 80,000 Alaskans used the program last year. But this fall, they were asked to refile their paperwork. Chase says she did that in October and hasn't gotten a response. The first time she reached out to the Division of Public Assistance for help, she said she was the 111th caller. She never got a call back. The second time, she waited on hold.
4.5 hours on hold just to talk to somebody who then informed me that there were 18,000 plus cases that needed to be worked.
Chase says she can't pay her electric bill this month because she chose to spend the money on food for her family.
But this is happening to a lot of people, and they're not getting these SNAP benefits, so they're going to have make a choice between paying their bills or feeding their families.
She says this comes right before a cold snap in the region and the holidays.
We won't be having a big Christmas dinner, and things are a lot tighter. I'm making things stretch more than I had to before. Because I'm concerned about when I will get food stamps or food benefits. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Chase lives in Tenneke Springs, a remote town in southeast Alaska, where she, like a lot of rural Alaskans, is more likely to pay higher food prices and less likely to have access to food pantries and other resources like urban centers do.
Yeah, like they should tell the glory hall because, you know, what if we need to, like, you know, start figuring out how to make lots more meals?
Luke Froman runs Juno's homeless center, the Glory Hall. He said he hasn't heard anything from the state either.
I have heard from a number of people that their SNAP benefits have not gone through and they've applied like, you know, 5, 8, 12 weeks ago.
He said clients have heard they could wait 3 or 4 months for the state to send their food stamps.
Yeah, like I wish they would. They need to come out with a statement because there's definitely a buzz. People have figured out that it's not operating as like, you know, it's supposed to be.
Ernie Hard helps people navigate social services for Bartlett Regional Hospital in Juneau, and he's hearing from clients who aren't getting their food stamps either. He and his colleagues have tried to call public assistance, but they had to wait like Nikita Chase did.
I've seen it with my coworker. He'll get put on hold and let you know that you're number, you know, 236, you know, or you've got 3-hour wait line.
Hard said he works with employees at the Division of Public Assistance a lot, and he's sympathetic because he thinks the department is understaffed.
People there are, you know, super nice and helpful, but you know, they're swamped, which is tough for everybody, tough for them, and it's tough for the people that need the service.
The state's Division of Public Assistance has not responded to KTOO's request for comment over the course of the last week. When KTOO visited the division's offices, Director Shonda O'Brien declined an interview. She said the department was still working to decide what information to share with the public. The department has not said how many people are waiting for their food stamps, how much longer the estimated wait time is, or what is causing the delay. It has not said whether SNAP recipients will receive the money for the months they had to wait. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple.
A Fairbanks hotel is developing an Aurora exhibit. The Aurora Discovery Institute at Pike's Waterfront Lodge is scheduled to open later this winter and will offer visitors a means to experience and learn about the Aurora year-round. KUAC's Robin reports.
On one of the coldest days of the winter, workers are wiring lights in a small building behind Pike's Waterfront Lodge along the Chena River.
So guests will always ask the hotel, will I be able to see the auroras from there?
Pike's general manager, Liz Griswold, says the hotel's new Aurora Discovery Institute will provide visitors an aurora experience even if they don't get to see the real thing. In the middle of a room is a 7-foot diameter rotating globe created by Seattle-based artist Eric James Morris. Morris, who's built globes for the Olympic Games and the United Nations, is checking projectors that shine colored lights at the top and bottom of the model Earth.
And I don't know that anyone's ever built a world globe that depicts the Aurora Borealis and Aurora Australis. So I thought, oh, what a wonderful opportunity to create something brand new and to highlight this spectacular natural phenomena.
The little building housing the globe was initially supposed to be a warming hut for the hotel's sledding hill, but hotel owner Jay Ramris saw another opportunity to entertain guests who often ask about the aurora.
And I typically low common denominate down to, well, if it's clear and it's cold and it's after 10 p.m., there's a chance you might see it. And if you see it, wake me up. And if it's not too cold, I'll go outside and look at it with you.
Looking to provide a more scientific explanation, Ramirez says he came across Morris's website, earthball.com, and hatched the idea for an on-site 3D aurora display.
And so we wanted a building, our Aurora Discovery Institute, to tell guests and enthusiasts of the aurora how it works. And we think that this is a great STEM opportunity for K through 12 kids, summer and winter.
Morris's globe is made of 12 sewn-together fabric printouts of a composite NASA photo of the Earth. It's suspended from the ceiling at a 23-degree angle, the same as the Earth's tilt in relationship to the sun.
So it functions like a kid's, like a giant bouncy house, and the continuously operating blower inside brings in air from up above through the suspension tube. It'll stay perfectly inflated.
All over the globe, the lights from cities in the NASA photographs were enhanced by fluorescent paint. So in simulating night and the globe turns toward black lights on one side of the room, all the little lights come on like they do on Earth at night.
I owe a big debt to the space program and NASA because without the cameras and satellites imaging the Earth from space, we wouldn't be able to create these authentic replicas.
Morris said it was a challenge to find the perfect simulation of the aurora over the globe's polar regions.
At first, we thought we'd do it with luminescent paint, like the city lights here, but it needs to be dynamic and moving. So I tested a bunch of different projectors and found these. You know, it's a pretty reasonable simulation of the actual aurora.
The globe will be surrounded by tablets on pedestals where visitors can project information onto monitors around the room. There are already interpretive signs and posters mounted on the walls, including panels from a World War II Canadian comic book.
One of the Canadian characters was Nelvana of the North. She was an Inuit princess, and we found her comic books and were able to blow them up into large posters depicting a superhero that, for all intents and purposes, is an Alaska Native. And she was the great protector of the Native people of the Arctic, their food supply, and the oceans.
Reimer says he's invited local scientists to an upcoming open house event to view the exhibit before it opens to the public. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And finally, the people have spoken. The Pacific Warrior is the winner of the Harbor Lights Boat Parade Best Decorated Boat Award. The Pacific Warrior and its tugboat were the first through the channel for this year's Harbor Lights Boat Parade that took place over the weekend. More than half of the boats cast by way of the Kodiak Maritime Museum's website went to the ship's festive display. 18 boats participated in this year's boat parade. That's the most in almost 10 years, according to parade organizers with the museum.
Congressional leaders have hashed out a budget bill. I'm Novosafo with the Marketplace Minute. Ahead of a must-pass Friday deadline, Congress has unveiled a budget for the government's current fiscal year running through next September. The bill is about 4,000 pages and allocates $1.7 trillion in spending, more than half of that for the military. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has ordered Wells Fargo to pay more than $3.5 billion to settle claims that it mismanaged consumer loans and deposit accounts, including wrongly repossessing vehicles. Construction of single-family homes declined by about 4% in November. The Commerce Department said construction projects with 5 units or more increased by almost 5%. I'm Novosafo with the Marketplace Minute.
What if accessing your personal and family immunization records was as easy as checking your phone? The Docket app is a secure option that allows Alaskans to quickly access their immunization records. Need immunization records for school or travel? Docket makes it simple and is available for download from the App Store or Google Play. Learn more at vaccinationrecords.alaska.gov. Paid for by the Alaska Department of Health.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 20th day of December, the year 2022. Sun rose today at 9:51. It will set again at 4:22. That will give us 6 hours and 31 minutes of glorious, precious daylight. A loss of only 13 seconds compared to yesterday. A record high for this date was 45 degrees set in 1951 and 2017, and a record low was 4 degrees set in 2001. Looking at our local tides, we have an outgoing tide. Our next low tide will be at 5:51 this evening and be minus 2/10 here on the east side. That'll be followed by a high tide at 12:18 a.m. of 6.7 feet. Over on the west side, your low tide will happen at 6:22 this evening and be minus 9/10, followed by a high tide at 12:40 a.m. of 12 feet in Larsen Bay. 27 degrees under overcast skies, west winds to 10 at the airport right now, where they are showing 10 miles of visibility again, and 63% humidity. The Weather Service is calling for a 30% chance of snow, mostly cloudy skies today, high near 33, north winds around 10. 40% chance of snow tonight with mostly cloudy skies, temperatures going back to 33 by 5 a.m. Light and variable winds are expected to turn to the east to 15 or so after midnight. And look for some rain tomorrow, mainly after 9 a.m. High near 37 tomorrow. East winds continuing and increasing to 30 in the afternoon. Could gust as high as 45. That rain is expected to continue through Thursday, at least to Thursday night, where it will be replaced by rain and snow. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. Gale warning for tomorrow. Variable 10 will turn to east 25 tonight. Seas 5 feet, building to 7 feet tonight. For tomorrow, east winds to 35 knots, increasing to 45 in the afternoon. Seas building to 16 feet tomorrow afternoon. And for Wednesday night, east winds to 50 knots, seas to 25 feet. Thursday, east 50 continuing, seas building to 27 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning for tomorrow as well. Northeast 25 in the Shelikof right now with seas to 7 feet and freezing spray. For tonight, northeast 25 and seas to 7 feet. And for tomorrow, northeast 45, seas 10 feet building to 14 feet tomorrow afternoon. And for Wednesday night, east winds to 50 knots, seas to 17 feet in the Shelikof. Well, only a few days left until December 23rd for the free admission to the Lutik Museum downtown. That has been a gift to Kodiak from Mattson. Thank you very much, Mattson. And if you haven't yet, don't forget to take advantage of that. Just a few more days. Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary's Angels of Love program is continuing. Display your loved one's name on an angel on one of the Providence Kodiak Island Hospital Medical Center's holiday trees. They'll be displayed there till January 21st. It's a way to honor the life of someone you miss or celebrate the life of someone you love. $10 donation for each angel. You can do it in person at the admitting and reception desk or at the specialty clinic. AMSI will be conducting a two-day fishing vessel drill conductor class in Kodiak on January 4th and 5th. It'll be going from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days with drills and a pool session, mostly at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center over on Trident Way near Island. The cost is free for Kodiak commercial fishing fleet and $225 for all others. This class meets the U.S. Coast Guard training requirements for drill conductors on commercial fishing vessels. You can register online by going to their website at www.amsea.org or call 907-747-3287. The Coast Guard Marine Safety Detachment in Kodiak would like to remind you to consider the stability of your vessel when loading crab and cod pots. Stacking the pots changes the center of gravity, and that affects the stability, especially in icing conditions. Personnel from the Coast Guard Safety Office in Kodiak will be walking the docks providing voluntary safety compliance checks with an emphasis on stability. You can contact them at 907-486-5918 or stop by their office in the subway building downtown with any questions. And KMXT's new 2023 calendars are in. If you're a current member, stop by and pick up your free copy. Additional copies can be had for a mere $15. And non-members can pick up copies for just $20 each. They're beautiful calendars. Thank you to all of the local photographers who submitted this year. And a special thanks to those who had their entries picked for the calendar. They're a great gift idea for those on your shopping list. Stop by and pick up a whole handful during business hours, which would be Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And Merry Christmas from all of us here at KMXT. The community of Kodiak produces more garbage in the month of December than any other month during the year. Much of that is due to gift packaging and cardboard going to the landfill instead of recycling. You can help reduce that flow by giving gifts of experience this year, like a certificate for a dinner at a local restaurant or a gift certificate to a local store. Your loved one will get a gift they'll remember, and you'll help out the environment and the community by minimizing the flow of garbage to the landfill. And don't forget to flatten out all that cardboard and take it to Threshold or to the cardboard dumpster. Thanks and happy holidays from the Borough Solid Waste Advisory Board.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.